When two worlds combine, it sparks into existence a brand new life of clarity and cosmic insight. This is the truest form of alchemy. Join Becky Gregory and Hillis Pugh on Cosmic Insight, only on Real Revolution Radio X.
Well, hello, Cosmic Explorers. Welcome to Cosmic Insight here with Rebecca Gregory and...
I'm Hillis Pugh, and welcome to another edition of Cosmic Insight. I am thrilled to have our very special guest, dear friend, soul sister. That's making me cry just thinking about it. From the beginning of time, humans have always used sacred ability to connect deeply to one another, to touch the inner realms of their soul, accessing information, wisdom, and to help people heal, illuminate, and guide one another through periods of change and transformation, which is now like the time we're in now. My dear friend and soul sister, Amal Sophia, is one of those souls, deeply connected to the inner vision of her, the realms of her spirit from a young age. She has been with her spiritual sensitivity and learned to channel and transform these gifts into spiritual strength. She uses her ability to connect to herself and others on the soul level to assist those who are seeking healing, understanding, direction, clarity, and inspiration through many different mediums. At the Spirit Dreaming Studio in Chicago, which she opened in 2012, she spent much time studying and volunteering and training in the shamanic healing practices and sacred plant medicine ceremonies in Peru. So this has been long overdue. I am so honored and so happy to have my dear friend and soul sister Amara with us. Dear.
She's coming in now.
Hello there.
Hello.
I'm just beaming with joy because, you know, you and I, we've been friends for such a long time. And, you know, just to share this platform with you and for others to hear your story, to know about you, is just magical.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so honored to be sharing this space with you guys and to be connecting with both you and Rebecca again. It was such a pleasant surprise to know that we'd be all connecting today.
Yes. I know, right? So Rebecca, why don't you go ahead and tell the story about, you know, the two of you.
Oh, you felt me dying to tell the story, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so you talk about the divine timing and things coming around and people connecting and how we all are connected. So this is really cool. So Hillis has been friends with Amara forever and a day. And a few years, I can't remember the years, I went to Teotihuacan with Heather Ashamare to the Warrior Goddess Retreat in Mexico. And yes, what beautiful soul I met there, Amara. So she spent a week traipsing up the pyramids, and just, it was just such an honor then to get to know her and where she was in on her journey. And then when Hillis said we were going to do a show about millennials and everything, and I have somebody and here's her name, and I'm like, Hillis, I know her. I met her in Mexico like 5 years ago. Like, we spent a whole week together. Like, and so, and here we are. And just, it's just so freaking cool. And yesterday we did a recording with Heather Ash, and here's Amara here. So that even adds to it on divine timing of everything connecting when it's supposed to, and in living in that energy that everything flows. So thank you for coming on. And oh my gosh, so magical. Create the magic.
Yeah. And yeah, that was such an incredible and transformative and formative time for me. And so, you know, reconnecting to my own sort of ancestral lineage and having such beautiful space holders and meeting all of the incredible souls was so special. And I'm so glad that we get to loop back into this time in what I think little did we know would be our future back then to do this.
I know.
Incredible.
I know. And for me, you know, I, when I met you back then, I just thought you were fabulous. And it was just a special connection with me. I'm just like, I remember asking you some, you know, just talking with you, and just, there was just something there. Like, it's like, we almost know when we get that connection with someone that there is something in the future or something's going to happen. Don't really know, but you just have this little connection that's, you know, all part of the dynamics of our journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, we are in this pandemic, beginning and middle, tail end, whatever you want to call it, of this journey. And so a lot of people right now are in this space of tension, frustration, all these low vibrating frequencies. And then you have, you know, the millennials, your age group, who I am proud to say who have, you know, really helped to bring transformation into this world, into this planet, even though, you know, people that are older like me, you know, I see that, but other people may not see and recognize it. So what are some of the things that you see, feel, and are recognizing that's helping to bring transformation to the planet?
You know, what's so interesting about being a millennial and sort of being able to take two steps back and look at the generational dynamics and themes between the different generations is, and what's unique, I think, about millennials is observing how I think the millennial generation has really been able to grow through the conflicts between sort of the fairy tale reality of the 90s that we grew up in, the transformation of technology in the 2000s, and then sort of the intensity that came after that, right? With the world, with 9/11, with everything that sort of shook us awake into this really tumultuous new time. And so I feel like what's unique about millennials is that we've been sandwiched between, I think, like these experiences that really have pushed us and have shaken us and have really shown us, I think, what isn't working in our society. And it's also given us the opportunity to really restructure and rework the way things in society and in our culture function. And so I think that's what we're seeing a lot of right now. We're seeing a lot of, you know, specifically millennials really kind of understand the illusion of the story we were given as kids, only to now discover like, oh wow, we have to take personal responsibility for creating a whole new way, the way that things work, you know, whether it's with our careers or with our spirituality or the way we view parenting, the way we view investing, the way we view finances. And so it's been really interesting to then see how that also is incorporated into the spiritual aspect of things, mm-hmm. how we, I think, have to sort of usher in and hold space for this really powerful time that we're seeing ourselves step into with the transformation of technology, medicine, spirituality, and just different cultural realities.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a big one. And you know, you spoke something in me, you know, that I typically hear a lot about millennials and about a lot of other, you know, younger generations, period, is that, you know, what you as a generation view as shaking things up and doing things a little bit differently, a little bit more, I can't think of the word right now, but more of a flow, if you will. And then the people of older generation, they talk about going against the grain and pushing against stuff. And they, when they say that, they often to refer to millennials in that sense. Like, they're always pushing against stuff. Oh, they don't want to do this. Oh, they don't want to do that. They just want to do their own thing and just move on. I'm like, well, isn't that a part of change and transformation anyway? So, I mean, just want to get your quick take on how it is, you know, when you hear that terminology, like what's the trigger for you and how do you like put people in their place about it?
You know, it's so fascinating you're bringing this up because I have a really unique family. I am the youngest of 8 children. My eldest sister is 21 years older than I am. Wow. And my mom had me when she was 39 turning 40. So, and my dad is 5 years older than her. So, you know, I grew up watching, you know, by the time I was 2 years old, my, you know, I had nieces and nephews and I grew up with parents that were pretty old school, even for their generation. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm part of a family dynamic where, you know, I grew up in the 90s, but I had brothers and sisters that were teenagers and in their early 20s in the 90s. So I've watched them sort of go from like, you know, teenagers to adults to bringing their girlfriends and boyfriends home who would later become their fiancés and husbands and wives. And so I think I have this really unique perspective where I can see how, as I then grew up and came into my teenage years and into my early 20s, how different those experiences were for us and how different the wisdom that got them through life was very different and at times unapplicable to me, which was really fascinating because it then left me to have to discover and figure things out in my own way, right? Which were not the way my parents did things, which were not even the way my, you know, my siblings grew up doing things. So, you know, and I think a lot of that shines through in a lot of the millennial narratives around like education and college. And well, if you just follow this yellow brick road, you know, you will be secure in these ways. And that's not necessarily true for our generation, which is, I think, a big part of what's happening in this cultural awakening, where whether it's, again, buying a house or whether it's connecting to our spirituality or standing up against injustice, you know, there's, I think, a lot of that angst that we have with like being given this story as kids growing up in the 90s about how the world works and then discovering, wait, that's not applicable anymore, or these things have changed, or we have collectively, we've been sold this package that we can't redeem in life, right? So it's, I think there's a lot of intersecting aspects to it, but I can definitely attest to, you know, to that process in my own world. So it's been pretty powerful. It's been pretty intense to live through it all.
Well, and I have a daughter who's a millennial as well. So, and I know for her, one of the biggest struggles, and other millennials that I have met and, you know, had the opportunity to act with, you know, there's this almost this feeling like you guys, your generation is to take on the world, and that responsibility level, like only you can do it. Like I find a lot of them, like, it's just up to us and only us. Do you find that being, and they get this mind, I'm sorry, there's a squirrel crawling up the tree right now that's like looking at, he's like distracting me here, shiny thing syndrome. But do you find, you know, that pressure, I guess, being a millennial and where you are on in this life, and actually having the beautiful upbringing to see different levels and different phases of this millennial transformation coming into play. What has been your biggest challenge, I guess, looking at the world from different points of view, being a millennial, and do you feel that pressure? Like it is up to our generation to do it all. And like, got to do it now. Don't have, you know, just like have to change now, instead of, you know, settling back and allowing the flow. It's just, I feel like it's such a rush. Like it has to happen right this moment. Do you feel that? Are you up in that? And just my point of view of, you know, just observing different millennials I've met along the way, including my
mother. Totally. No, you're not wrong. I mean, I think that definitely I felt so much more of that in my early 20s. And I'm sure it's also part of just, you know, aging a little bit. I'm now 33. And so there's a part of me that's just like, when it comes to certain things in the world, I just roll my eyes sometimes because I just feel so exhausted. But you know, what's really fascinating, I think, from a more spiritual perspective is really sort of the concept of the millennial generation being the generation where the indigo children sort of came in. And it wasn't until I started understanding the concept of what that sort of terminology sort of meant. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of labels, but I really think that there is something to the generational soul groupings that incarnate with each generation, and how much, you know, being millennials being sort of split between like being incredibly empathic, incredibly gifted, spiritually, psychically, intuitively, empathically, while also having to deal with like the kind of the inherited generational karmas before us, with then sort of the, like you said, sort of this deep desire and impetus to change it and transform it. And so I think that when I look at like my own friends and my own circles and I tap into the collective narratives that belong to our generation, I feel like we're really split. I feel like some of us still feel very passionate and fiery, and we have the resources to create change or to pursue our passion and our soul purpose. And then there are the other, I would say half of like people's experiences, which are really, I think, struggling and feel a bit stuck with the challenges that they've inherited from society, from their families, from, you know, different cultural realities that that exist. And so I feel like there's a lot of different intersecting things that play out in our generational narratives that are actually currently, I think, being healed, transformed, and challenged, which is really exciting. So I'm still excited about it. Mm-hmm. I feel that a big part of my work as a healing facilitator and a shamanic healing practitioner and reader is to really hold space for the people that are coming into that transformative chrysalis in their lives, where they can, you know, shift things and empower themselves to really feel that they can rewrite the story for themselves, energetically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So I feel like right now we're all in this pressure cooker with each other as a society, especially in this country, of course, being from the US, you know, we're all sort of feeling this ebb and flow of intensity and transformation and challenge and struggle. And we're all in it sort of together, even though we each have our own role. And so it's really fascinating to see the alchemy of that and how generationally it's relevant, and yet sometimes it's irrelevant because we're all in it together no matter what generation we're from. So it's really a fascinating thing to look at, but also let go of at the same time.
So agree with you.
Yeah.
So do you have any recommendations for any millennials watching right now that kind of helped you in a way keep yourself balanced through all this? Any like just kind of quick little insights to assist to, you know, a millennial that might be struggling?
Yeah. So I think the first thing that I really had to do in my journey was I really had to take back my power from the stories that had been sort of installed or given to me that I inherited in life. The first big one was about money, you know, so from a very young age, you know, I was told, you know, I had to grow up and have a good career. And that looked a certain way for my family and for my father in particular. So when I opened up about, you know, wanting to explore my spirituality and when I then discovered, you know, my gifts of, you know, clairvoyance and intuition and the capacity to channel energy, I felt a deep call where I was conflicted for such a long time between, do I pursue this or do I pursue a traditional, you know, path with like college and things like that. And I definitely tried. So when those things fell apart, the first thing I had to do was empower myself to really understand that everything I knew about reality, about money, about, you know, the things that I'd been given, I had to sort of set them aside and really allow my deeper purpose to come to the surface. And I know so many people that have that impetus, that drive, that deep feeling that there's something more to their lives. And so the first thing I would recommend is really becoming intimate with what that inner voice within you is guiding you to and is trying to show you. You know, for example, my boyfriend, he is a chemist by trade, he's a scientist, but he's also a musician. And when I watch him play music, I see how he opens up and channels like this incredible genius that's just part of the invisible realm of his spirit. And, you know, and I've seen him sort of struggle between like, well, you know, I want to pursue this, but I also feel bound to like my academic journey. And so for a lot of us, it's holding two different worlds. It's like a very shamanic path where we have to sort of dance between worlds. But we really have to empower ourselves to understand, you know, what are the narratives that serve my purpose and what are the narratives that inhibit me or that, you know, hold me back or that don't allow me to explore my truths and my freedom. And so I would really begin with assessing, like, do I really need this thought? Is this really true? Is this idea or narrative or story that's most likely rooted in survival, which is, I think, what the past couple generations were trying to move past, right? Are these holding me into my greatness?
Yes. Thank you for that information. It's wonderful, wonderful.
It is. And what was fascinating about that, because you just hit on something I was going to ask you about, which was, what is one of the common threads that you see in all generations? And that is the one of survival that you just mentioned. And as we, as a culture, as a society, and not just here in the Western world, you know, in America, but globally, that, you know, is the underlying thing in all generations and all cultures and all races and all ages, that we have an inherent desire to survive. And, you know, it looks different for everybody, but that's the underlying thing that we all want to move into a level of, okay, I want to move past this space of surviving and into thriving, into feeling good, into feeling better, and how do I do that? And so it gets to a point where, do I just throw my hands up and give up, or what is it that I keep trying? And just real quick, I just want to share with everyone that when I started my journey, this dear soul was the first one to help really guide me on my path. One of the things that she was so insightful, and one of the things that she gifted me was this guy, this fluorite crystal. And after the reading, there was so much joy, so much energy. And after that guidance, I have treasured it so much because of what it meant in that moment, because of me allowing myself to open up to receive. And I, with every class that I teach, this is my example here for people to open up to receive. And wouldn't you say that now is the time, doesn't matter what generation you are, whether you're a millennial, generation X, Y, Z, A, B, boomers.
With all that.
Yeah, exactly, right? That you have to allow yourself to open up to receive. And wouldn't you say that's definitely part of the process?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, receiving downloads, receiving even just new, neurological responses from your own brain. Like it's really fascinating to see how, the macro and the micro, the way we think and the way our futures are forming, not just as generation, but as a species. I think it's so fascinating and it's so important, and yeah, absolutely receiving. And really, I think also trusting that we can own the truth that is within us, no matter how scary or big or daunting it might seem.
Yeah.
And that's interesting you bring that up, at the age group and what we had talked about before with everything going on with society and millennials and how the shift and change and everything, opening up to receive, coming from that place of survival, which was generations before, to open and receive at a new level, but also at the same time, having this, I need to save the world.
Yeah.
And that correlation of how do you receive when you think your job is to do it all? I gotta do this. It's like there's this individuality because we're coming out of this space of survival and coming into the space of standing in our own and making that change and changing the world and looking at everything different. And I feel for you guys because it's just so much to kind of balance and fit together. And how do I receive with this pressure I have on me?
Mm-hmm.
Has that been a challenge for you?
Yeah, I think that's what, it's interesting because I feel that at the very beginning of my journey. So I'd say like the first, maybe 20 to 25 years of my life, there was a lot of that intensity. I grew up in sort of an intense family dynamic. And that was the one thing that I always felt like I wanted to save my family. I wanted to be there for my sisters. I wanted to heal all their wounds. I wanted, to make everyone proud. I wanted to, be the one that could help, bring my family into a different phase of things, whether it was through education or through acts of service or buying my parents a house, when they retired, those were sort of the fantasies that I had growing up as a kid. What I then realized was, wow, I'm also here to sort of heal and resolve a bunch of my, karmas and come into my dharmic path. And so I think that, again, there's this really interesting balance between, again, learning how to ground and release and flush, like you said earlier when you were telling me the story of, the person that you brought home from the grocery store, the younger person who you taught them how to ground and how to release. That was so essential because I think the millennial generation is one of the most empathic generations. And maybe that's, I don't know if that's true or not. That's just my experience, right? Where I feel that we're master internalizers. We internalize what's wrong with society. We can also internalize and really open up to what's amazing about society and how we can utilize it for the best of the whole. And so I think that there's a lot of empowerment processes that we weren't taught in school. We weren't taught from our immediate ancestors, because those wisdoms weren't necessarily necessary at that time. So I think millennials have sort of the challenge of having to learn or tap into wisdoms that the past two generations didn't necessarily need to utilize in the same way. So a lot of it for us is, I think, exploring how to come into that in our own way. We're also very individualistic. So it's been a journey to try to find, like, okay, what works for you? What works for me? What works for us? And how are these differences intersecting with each other, but how are they also incredibly unique to individuals, to different, you know, embodiments of gender or race, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a really fascinating question that is going to continue to be explored even as we age, right? Because what was relevant for me as a millennial in the 90s and 2000s is incredibly different than, you know, what is necessary now. So it's constantly evolving, I feel.
Yes.
Yes, I appreciate that perspective of getting into that space, but I want to dig a little deeper here, because as older generations being part of this collective, there's this space now where everything is intersecting, everything is overlaying, everything is parallel, everything is everything. And so, you know, you have to allow yourself to peel away the labels, right? You have to peel away, you know, being a millennial, have to peel away being this, have to peel away being that. And so one of the things that I noticed about this generation in particular, that everything has a label. Mm-hmm. Everything has a box. Everything has a name. So it can be easily identified or not be offended, you know, in that sense of the word. And so with that in mind, one who chooses, because it's a choice, to embark on their spiritual journey, to allow themselves to step into another space of freedom, mm-hmm. what have you noticed or seen about this over, as I call it, over-identification mm-hmm. of really saying, no, I don't belong here, I belong over here, mm-hmm. and that's in that sense?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And, you know, what this reminds me of is sort of the, what I sort of talked about earlier about, like, almost having to, it's shamanic in that you have to almost dance between two worlds. I think as a generation, I think we've had to sort of do that. But to your point, you know, I think that it's like two ends of the same spectrum. I think some people find healing in finally being able to identify in one way, just as much as others can find healing and empowerment through, like, shedding any sort of labels. So I feel like they're both, you know, necessary on a soul journey, where sometimes it's like we have to really understand and name, whether it's our trauma, our, you know, our roots of who we are as people. And that can lead to, you know, sort of healing of the shadow of, like, what's attached to all that we've maybe never seen or noticed before. And then I feel like a pendulum swings to the other element, where it's like, okay, great, now that I've integrated the wisdom of that, now that I've healed certain aspects of that, now I can feel what it's like to exist or live beyond that. And so I think ultimately, you know, we want to sort of acknowledge how the ego structure finds safety in labels, right? Because we can then identify, we know where we belong, which, again, like, for some people, I think that can be very healing to finally feel like you belong somewhere. Whereas for others, it's like, God, it feels so good not to belong to any of this, right? And so I feel like we as souls on this journey get to sort of play with these expressions and with these truths that are ever changing and ever dynamic. So I don't know if there's, you know, any sort of ultimate answer for it, but I definitely have seen the integrity of being able to really understand what's behind a label, as well as also even see how labels can be very inhibiting. They can be very left or right, very binary. So yeah, I think it's constantly shifting. And I see, you know, whether it's in the gender expressions of being non-binary, right? Being sort of this peeling away, versus someone that is very sort of binary and finds healing in that and finds purpose and belonging in that as well. So I feel like different strokes, you know, is probably the best approach. And for me in my practice, I just like to meet people where they are. And I've seen people come in 1 year as one energetic archetype. And then 2-3 years later, they're in a completely different, radically transformed place. And that's, I think, the magic of it all, is we get to sort of dance and be all the different spectrums of the rainbow.
Yeah. I think that's a beautiful flow to it. Thank you for bringing all that information forward. And, you know, I always would like go even a you know, sometimes I want to take just another deeper is, you know, I feel I've seen, you know, firsthand, sometimes people get so anchored into the label that they use it as a way to judge others. And so that's a whole nother layer of, I feel that needs to be looked at. Like, we don't even know we might be late. We don't need to anchor in it. It's just part of our healing, who we are. But then there's this whole, like, I'll just use vegan. That's what's coming to my head right now. People who are vegan start judging other people for eating. So, and that's a whole nother dynamics that I think really needs to be discussed of honoring people who they are, no matter what they feel, think, want to be, and not getting attached to the label. And that's all that there is this label, and everybody else is in the wrong, you know, to put it bluntly. Have you found this? Well, I mean, that's something I've encountered firsthand. So I just, that deeper level of that anchoring in, like, I've got this now, this is who I am, and I can't be anything else.
Yeah, totally.
Because you talked about the shadow work and you talked about the whole other label. So, and that's one thing I want to explore even more, because, you know, as we are doing this experience, because there's so much transformation happening now,
yeah,
that we have to have the courage to do the shadow work. We have to stop spiritually bypassing everything, because everything isn't always happy-go-lucky when you're this spiritual being. It's not. I mean, there's this upheaval, there's this and that. Well, you know, I mean, you, from my own personal experience or your personal experience and our shared experiences, even when we did plant medicine together in the studio.
Yeah, I'll never forget that night. Yes. Yeah.
Plant medicine.
So how people in general, millennials, can really step in and embrace the shadow, embrace the darkness, because that's a part of who we are.
100%. You know, and that's one of my favorite lessons that ceremony work and medicine work has taught me in shamanic work, essentially, is really being able to hold two opposing truths in the same space within myself.
Yes.
So, you know, is this all illusion? Yes. Am I also painfully here sometimes? Absolutely. Right. So those are two realities that it's like, you know, I want to fight both of them. And yet I think the healing in my journey has come from like being able to allow them to sit at the same table with each other and to coexist and to really lean the medicine of both, which I think is a big part of, you know, all spiritual path work, because that ultimately I think leads to that doorway of transcending all of it, even if it's just for a moment in time. So if I can hold this truth and I can hold that truth and I bring them together, it creates its own unique alchemy that then allows me to pierce beyond it, which then allows me to then get more anchored and grounded in my experience now. And so I feel like it creates this crisscross of energy that, you know, that's, I think, one of the pearls that, you know, shamanic work has to offer the world here, especially the Western mind that's very binary. It's very, you know, you're either a Democrat or Republican, like it's so split. And it's like, what happens when we allow it to merge? What can we learn about ourselves and about the world around us when we can hold those opposing truths at the same time?
Finding that balance between it all and not pushing either side away, that it's all part encompassed in one, and finding that balance to be aligned to it all.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
It's exciting. It's all about the balance.
Yeah, so I'm curious. I know, obviously, you know, that we're sort of playing with the topic of like millennials, which puts us into kind of like this sort of segregated generational narrative, which I know is ultimately illusion, right? Because the second we drop the skin, we're all energy. But I am curious, in your guys' experience, in both of you, how do you both...
I knew this was coming.
Yeah, how do you feel that you've embodied your generational narratives, and how have you transformed them for for your own healing, your own transformation? What are things that you guys have had to shed or challenge or transcend?
You want to go first or should I?
You can go first. You look like you're ready to go. Or I can go. Your choice.
I can go.
It's all about choice.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, growing up African-American, growing up a man, there's these very strong, very dynamic, masculine stereotypes you have to follow. You know, and being raised by three women, that didn't make it any easier. You know, it's like, okay, well, you have to be this way, you have to be that way because you're a man, and then you have to do this and not do that because you're Black. And I'm like, I'm so confused. And then, you know, the religious, you know, going to Baptist church one Sunday, then going to Catholic church another Sunday, just because I'm going to Catholic school. So that whole religious dynamic of being Black and then being a man and then being Baptist and then being Catholic and then being this, and then I'm like, who am I? And so then later, you know, come 16 years old, come find out that I like guys. So I'm like, okay, that's another thing. So it's like all these layers upon layers upon layers. It's like, so it wasn't until, you know, say like my early 20s, like 20, 25, I was really coming in to really embody what it was to be a Black man. Then it's like, okay, I'm a gay Black man. And it's like, have to embody that. What is that? So there wasn't really anyone to mirror or to see in that role. And so as I moved through that, it really helped me to really begin to embrace my spiritual path and to really think, okay, well, there's nothing else out there that I can really relate to. So I have to like find my way. And so essentially I've found my way through all of this. And still, you know, there are moments where I admit there was times I was spiritual bypass, where I didn't want to deal with all the deep, dark, and dirty stuff. But then, you know, the beauty of dealing with it, you know, is the person you see now. I mean, and even now at this very moment, I'm doing a little bit of shadow work.
Yeah.
A new moon.
Yes, in new moon energy and a Mercury retrograde. So you know there's some deep stuff going on right now. And I can say that because you know you understand. And so now it's always ongoing to this transformation, this evolution. I mean, you have these really pivotal, really light and glorious moments, and you have those moments like, you know, don't bother me today. But yeah, that's about it in a nutshell.
Awesome. Yeah, that's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking.
So my story is a little different. I'm a white woman, you know, living in a different little thing. But, you know, I grew up once, you know, I think I was telling Hills the other day when the main thing was like relationships with me and communication growing up. One, being an empath and just seeing things and being shut down growing up. Being Catholic, and I mean Catholic school, the whole kit and caboodle. Like, I remember just sitting there, like, what? I just never understood it. It never made sense to me. Like, I love God and all that, but just the whole, anyway, that's a whole nother story. But being that dynamics, you know, going through stories of being molested and things. So I grew up kind of the survival and the victim, my whole world, you know, I'm the victim, I survival, and taking on all those roles and surviving throughout my whole entire life, knowing that I was different, but didn't know where I fit in, and just kind of living the world, I guess, for say my biggest journey is living the world for other people, like doing things my whole life for others, and falling into that illusion of the belief systems. And this is how you're supposed to act. This is how you're supposed to talk. This is how you're supposed to do this. You got to wear lipstick. You got to do this, blah, 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 blah. And it goes on and on. So in the constructs of that, that's how I kind of grew up, doing things for other people and never finding myself, just because I was such the victim and such the survival, like, this is how I have to survive right now, until I like really woke up and started going down the path of digging in the shadow and looking at it and knowing that I don't have to live that way anymore. So, and just finding, you know, it's just my journey, but realizing it's been my journey since the beginning and everything, it's just circling around and doing the clearing and cleansing. And now I just feel like it's my mission or part of my purpose now is to look at everything that comes up and be in that shadow, you know, to help your generation and other generations. Like, that is what I feel my hugest purpose is to assist those coming up behind to clear my shit out so you guys don't have to take it on. You know, seriously, I that's a huge thing that's in my heart, you know, from being the victim and everything I dealt with in my world and coming out of that and still growing every day and learning every day and just looking up to your generation. And I told you the story of the little runaway homeless boy I took. Well, he wasn't homeless. He was a runaway. I took home. I met at the grocery store the other night and I brought him home. And, but it's this little kid. I mean, and I think it's so prevalent right now because he was sitting there and he was just like, people just walked by him and he was freezing. Like, he was sitting there, didn't know where to go. He was so lost. And my heart just reached, I'm like, I have to, you know, I was like, do you want to come home with me? I knew he needed to go back home, but he needed to feel safe before he did that. And I remember just bringing him home and he was just so grateful. And I just saw the beauty of him and how lost he was, but yet that shining star inside of him. And you know, I gave him the insights on what I struggled with. And I brought, you know, I struggled with this, but you don't have to carry this on, you know, and just gave him a little insight that I saw him and told him what a wonderful person, you know, and I guess this just brings it, you know, that brought such joy to my heart, seeing a little child who was so lost. And just, I taught him how to ground real quick, you know, and just, it wasn't a lot, but it was just enough that I saw that child wake up for the first time in his life, knowing he's going to be okay. And it was so powerful. I'm going to cry right now because it was such a powerful moment to help somebody who was lost. And, you know, from being from my generation, and that's what I feel like our generation is for, is to help you guys. And we all help each other together because we learn so much for you as well. And we need to look at you guys, you know, the generations coming up, to mold together, to create this new world together as a collective unity, not generational or this or that, or judgment of who you are, what you are, how you think, but to love everyone for how they show up in this world.
So deep. Yeah.
Okay.
I love that.
So deep, so true.
It's my turn to break down pillows.
Well, you know, every other show I'm crying, so hey.
You know, that's what it's all about. Being raw, real, letting everything fall out. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm grateful this happened right now, you know, because we don't have to hide behind anything anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything. You know, one of my favorite things, and this I think I learned very intimately through the process of my transition, but you know, I was born in 87, grew up in the 90s, but when I started my transition, I started it, four years ago. So I felt like a part of me was shown that, like, even though, you know, we're born into a certain dynamic, we're constantly offered the opportunity to sort of absorb the evolution of the world around us. Mm-hmm. And that really sort of taught me. And there was someone that we met, I believe her name was Billy, on our retreat. I don't know if you kept in touch with her.
Yes, I do. I do keep in touch with her. She, yes.
Yeah. And it just, I remember, you know, meeting her and just seeing and feeling and just being so healed by, like, her vibrant, youthful energy, regardless of whatever, you know, label of age that, you know, that we have as humans. And she has been such a big teacher to me throughout just that 1 week we spent. I remember thinking, like, I want to be like Billy. I want to grow throughout my life and be able to take in the vibrancy and the wisdom of new generations and of new times and of whatever's right in front of me. And so I feel like we all have that opportunity too, to sort of, like you said, transcend these labels and these generational elements by downloading sort of the new cosmic, cultural, societal energy in a way that feels true for us, as a way to help us stay connected to life, right? Because I think the worst thing we could do is is hold on to who we are or what we've known in a way that inhibits our ability to grow and to learn and to evolve and expand. And that's just so exciting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I remember she had fabulous socks, really fun, funky socks.
I just loved everything.
I don't know why I remember her socks, but I loved her socks. The things I remember, but I feel the same with her. Just, yes.
Yeah. You know, and one thing that I appreciate so much about this conversation, other than the fact that we've connected on this platform and, you know, that you two have reconnected, but the underlying thing is, you know, said in everything that we talked about is show up as you are. And if you show up as you are, you have to move past whatever fear that you have of not being good enough or not worthy enough, or I'm not pretty enough, or whatever not enough. It's just that. It's just who you are. You know, whether if you cleaning up on someone, your mess or someone else's mess. But it is come as you are, be as you are, show up as you are, because you are ready. You were born to do this, or you wouldn't be here right now to do it.
Yeah.
And being direct to express, you know? Yeah. I always say the day the fluff and stuff is over, we've got to be direct and, you know, just express who we are and don't worry about, you know, we don't need to fluff around anymore. Just get to the point. Don't waste your energy trying to navigate. We put our energy, we give so much energy away trying to navigate instead of just being direct with the answers or what we have to say or anything like that. So,
yeah. I think you just made up a new word. Navigate.
I make all kinds of new, I have my own dictionary. Don't you know that?
Yeah, I like that. Navigate. I'm going to navigate you.
I'm going to have to make a dictionary, Becky-isms.
I love that.
Who said my dear, where can people find you to get a hold of you? And what type of sessions are you offering right now?
Yeah, so I've, let's see. You can find me on my website. I used to have a physical space that in the COVID world, I've sort of, you know, even before COVID, I felt at the beginning of the year before COVID hit that this was going to be the last year that I had a physical location that I'd had since 2012. And so now everything's virtual. So you can find me through the studio's website, which is spiritdreamerhealing.com. Or you can find me through Instagram, which I believe the handle, it's Spirit Dreamer Healing, I believe. But you can find it all through the website. So spiritdreamerhealing.com is the portal to find me and the work that I do.
I love you.
Love you too. I miss you. I can't wait to have you guys visit, or, you know, once the world is ready to travel again. I think.
Yeah, how is the world right now? You're in Chicago, correct?
Yep, I'm in Chicago.
Are you shut down or loud out and about?
I mean,
you never know. Every day.
Yeah, it's different every day, but I'm so excited for things to sort of stabilize in this coming year. So I'm hoping that, you know, we can collectively get it together.
Oh no, we will have no choice but to collectively get it together.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And just amazing things to come.
Mm-hmm. I feel it. I'm ready for it.
So, my dear, before we go, I would like to know, do you have any closing thoughts that you'd like to share with anyone as we move forward in this new Aquarian?
Oh, yeah, let me see what wants to come through. You know, I felt, I read such a really interesting quote today. I forget who said it, but it was something, it was kind of cheesy, but it just hit such a deep chord of truth in my heart. And it was something like, we're not called human doings. We're called human beings. So just be.
Love it.
I love
and
it that.
It's so relevant. And I'm just like, you know what? Like in this time where we're all just gripping to like figure out like the stock market or, you know, what stocks to buy or what this to do or what, you know, thing to launch. It's just like, sometimes you just have to just be and sit with it and see what wants to like burst out of your heart when the time is right. And so that's been one of my practices recently, is just sitting and being, because I'm so used to being a little hummingbird and running around and doing this and doing that and being really hard on myself. And this past month, I've just wanted to, you know, hibernate and just be.
Beautiful. So just, what a gift for yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Love you.
I love you too. It's so great to see you again, Becky.
I know. Wow. How cool.
Yeah.
Have a ceremony sometime.
Oh my gosh, 100%. I've been needing it, so we'll have
we'll
to connect.
We'll talk offline about that.
Okay. So everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Cosmic Insight. It has been a great pleasure to, my heart is just filled with love right now.
Thank you so much, everyone, and see you next time. Bye. Thank you, Amara, for joining us. It's been such a delight.
The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised.
But heard instead,
dear listeners,
through podcast radio
on realrevolutionradio.com.
Never before has inspirational podcast radio been taken to this next level of wow.
Until now.
Today, in the age of information,
more and more people are searching for answers
and in solutions
and how to better approach and perceive every day-to-day concerns
by tuning in
to realrevolutionradio.com.
Isn't it about time we take back our lives?
Back in consciousness,
in a higher state of awareness,
in the evolution of our own state of higher well-being.
Yes, we can do so consciously
every day
by tuning in
to the many groundbreaking and third eye-opening podcasts.
Our new Cleveland-based network of over 33 paradigm-shifting internet talk shows, only on realrevolutionradio.com. Be part of that change.
Evolve.
Be inspired.